What a poem. What a verse. What a truth. Where will we go when it comes to the point of death? Now, I want to turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, as we are. And with our Bibles open before us, maybe we could bow in a brief word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we bow humbly at your feet just now, recognizing the tremendous truth that we have just read. But man dieth, yea, man wasteth away. Give up the ghost. And where is he? We pray, Father, that you would help us to answer that question tonight afresh and know of a surety that ere we come to die, that all is well with our souls. Be with us now as we open up thy word and look and examine this passage. May you speak to hearts tonight, convict of sin, and may salvation visit this very building this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have read that portion of Scripture because it is very, very near and dear to me. I have had the privilege over my lifetime, what I've been here, to be present, which is a fascinating thing, at the point of death concerning three of my loved ones. The first one, of course, was our wee boy, a wee boy called Joshua, who was our third son, who died some years ago now. And on that occasion, I remind him, as he sat on our laps in the hospital there in Belfast, and he breathed his last, and we watched that little boy of 2 weeks of age going out into God's eternity. I got great encouragement from God's word. We got great encouragement from God's word at that time. It was a heartbreaking time. It wasn't an easy time to watch your child go out into God's eternity as he breathed his last. But I mind reading the word of God, and I mind reading about David losing his son, and I mind reading the words where David could say, "He will not come to me, but I will go to him." And that's the tremendous hope. For one day I'm going to see him again. Going to be reunited with my wee boy, which left us very early in this scene of time. And then shortly after that, there was my father. My father passed away suddenly as well, one night just in his own bed, sitting on the side of his own bed. In this early 60s, the man going down that morning to see him, and I sat down beside him. And we began to talk just about the things that had happened with him during the night and the way he was feeling, and we got into the conversation. He had let me into the house. He had come down to the bed and sat on the bed with the basin beside him because he had been violently sick throughout the night. And my mind were sitting talking about this, and I was going to get the doctor and all the rest, and just contemplating what we were going to do. And as we were in the midst of talking, just like that, he fell back in the bed. He never said, "Son, I'm going to die." He never said, "Son, goodbye." Before his head hit the bed, his soul was out into God's eternity. And then just about a few years ago, coming into Portadown, Craigavon Hospital there, one evening to spend the night with my mother, just had said goodbye to my sister who had spent the day with her. We sat down, I put my coat, hung it on the chair, pulled the other chair round and sat down beside my mother and just talked to my mum and rubbed her head as she lay there in the sick bed. And I would say my sister never even got through her front door. And Mommy breathed her last. And went out into God's eternity. A young woman in her 60s. You see, dear friend, death is real. And one day you're going to die because that's what the Bible says. And I want to say to you from the depth of my heart tonight, you need to watch. You need to listen. And you need to prepare for the day of your death. I stood not so long ago there at a funeral. Had at my church locally to us. And I mind years ago I had a best friend, you called the lad Billy. And Billy and I ran about together for a number of years, and then Billy took a thing called leukemia. And thankfully, Billy came and trusted the Lord prior to his death. But I mind going to visit him in the Royal, the old building then, just the night before he passed on. And I stood beside his grave just about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. A young man passing on in his 20s. And yet when we were running about together and fooling around, we thought we had a whole lifetime ahead of us. And there I stood that Lord's Day afternoon just at the grave of my best friend who died as a young man. You see, dear friend, God is no respecter of persons. And what we want to do, we want to take a look at this chapter this evening and we want to answer the question, where will your soul be after you leave this scene of time? Now I want you to read it with me. We're going through it here. Acts chapter, or Luke chapter 16, verse 19. It says that there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. We want to take a look at three things in this passage of Scripture. We want to take a look at them in life. We want to take a look at them in death. And then we want to take a wee look at them in eternity. First of all, we take a wee look at them in life. And we can see that in our Bible reading this evening, just that as we have read there. We have these two individuals that is brought to our attention in Luke's Gospel chapter 16. And the Bible speaks of this certain rich man which was clothed with purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Here was a character who was in need of nothing. It is said by some that he could have had royalty background. He had all the money he needed in the bank. He had all the clothes in the wardrobe that he ever would have needed. He had all the food and drink on the table that he ever would have needed. He had all the friends and family there alongside him. And everything for him seemed to be going very, very, very well. I don't know the man's name. The Bible just describes him as a certain rich man, faring sumptuously every day. And yet, though we see this man, this certain rich man who fared sumptuously every day, I believe personally that this man had the privilege that any man or woman could ever have, and that is of hearing the message of the gospel of saving grace through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that this man was aware of his great need of repentance, that which our Lord ministered. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I'm aware that this man would have known the truth that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm aware this man would have been aware of the truth that except he would have repented, he was going to perish. But listen, knowing this did not change him. He never gave any thought concerning his eternal destiny, concerning where his soul was heading in eternity. He was more caught up with time than eternity. Is that you tonight? We're living in a world which seems to rob us of all our time. There's time for nothing. But dear friend, you make time. And you take time. And obviously this man neither made time nor took time. He was more interested in the possessions that this world had got to offer than in his eternal destiny. You see, he thought he was going to live a lot longer than he was. But not only do we see the one individual in time, but we see the other one here mentioned in verse 20. For it says that there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. He was from a different background. This man had nothing. Absolutely nothing. The reason why he was brought to the boy's gate day in and day out, and as he lay at his gate with the body being full of sores, listen, his reason for being there was that he would desire to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. A desire to be fed. A desire for food. Something which he couldn't obtain. Something which he couldn't buy. He was an absolute beggar of the street, lying at a rich man's gate with his body covered in ulcers. And the only relief that he had from the pain and from the suffering was when the dogs came and licked his sores. I don't think the boy inside knew much about the boy outside the gate. Or the servants who brought the crumbs and threw them out through the gate. And do you know why the crumbs were thrown out through the gate? They were thrown out through the gate to feed the dogs. For the dogs were at the gate also, and the dog will know where to find his scraps. I have an old dog at home, and he's as wise as anything. And do you see every morning at the same time, and there's no watch and there's no clock? Nothing. But every morning at the same time, he's at the door looking through the glass. Do you know what he's waiting on? He's waiting on his dental stick. But he never misses. He never misses. And do you see the dogs who gathered round the rich man's gate? They never missed, because they knew where that was there. They got the scraps. And that's why the beggar was there, to be fed with the crumbs. See the crusts that fell from the rich man's table. The old dogs would have come by and they'd have licked his sores. And it's the only source of relief the man got. But I want to say this boy also heard the message of the gospel. And this boy who had nothing, after hearing the message of the gospel, responded to the message of the gospel and repented of his sin and received Christ as his Savior and was saved by God's grace. So here we have them in life, two completely different persons from two completely different backgrounds in two completely different circumstances. One took time to prepare for eternity, but the other didn't. Not only do we see them in time, but can I say, secondly, we see them in death. Take a look at verse 22. It says that it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Not fascinating? Probably died out of weakness, ill health, and sickness. But you can be healthy and die, you know. Remember the young boy on the football pitch not so long ago? Out to play the game of football and just suddenly dropped dead in the middle, or dropped in the middle of the field on the heart. Was given out. But for the boy that came on and was able to bring him around again. But that boy was healthy. But for the man who came on, he'd have been gone. And how often over recent days and weeks and months have you and I heard of people who just never recovered, hadn't the privilege and were playing sport, and died on the field of sport. Young people, healthy people, didn't expect to die. And dear friend, here's this beggar, and whether he died at the roadside here or whether he died at home, I'm not particularly sure. But this one thing I do know, the Bible says that it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. You see, you and I have a soul. And the Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he would gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And when this man died, suddenly, that soul departed from the body and went out into God's eternity. And isn't it a fascinating thing here as we read about the death of this child of God? The Bible says that the Lord sent angels which carried him into Abraham's bosom. You see, the good book says, precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of the saints. And I often remember that time when Stephen was been stoned to death in the book of Acts because of his stand for truth and for righteousness. That day when he was taken by the mob out to the place of execution, and as he stood at the point, he began to pray, and then he dropped to his knees. And then the Bible says that he just went to sleep. And while all this was happening, the Bible says just prior to his death, he lifted up his eyes and he saw the Lord Jesus standing in the glory. You see, for the saint of God, the Lord will never let us cross Jordan alone. He's always there to comfort. He's always there to accompany us into the presence of heaven itself. And the angels came from glory and they accompanied this man's soul into Abraham's bosom. And for him to be absent from the body was now far better. You see, he was prepared. He was ready for the day of his death. He knew in his heart that if anything was to happen to him today, listen, all is well with my soul. David knew that. David could say in Psalm 23, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Stephen knew it. And dear friend, you can know it tonight. In fact, you need to know it. And this man suddenly died, and the angels came and ushered him into Abraham's bosom. But listen, not only do we see the death of the beggar, but the Bible speaks here of the death of the rich man, because it says, and the rich man also died and was buried. This boy who was caught up with time, this boy who was caught up with the pleasures of this world, this boy who had given more time to time than eternity, suddenly the death angel visited his home. Unexpectedly. Just like mommy. Just like my daddy. Just like my wee boy. Suddenly taken out. And that body which was left behind, there was much sorrow in his household and much grief. And that body was buried in a dignified way, of course. Some people would say that the beggar, that his body was so bad that they probably threw it under the burning. They probably burned it. He was a nobody in the eyes of the world. But this boy was a big fella. But when it came to death, the tables turned. Dear friend, the Bible says not only did the beggar die, but the rich man also died and he was buried. Now listen, is that the end? Is it? Is that the completion? It's not. And we can see here the difference between the body and the soul. And what does the Bible say? What does the Bible teach us here? What exactly is taking place? Now watch it. The Bible says in verse 22, the rich man also died and was buried. That's the body going back into Mother Earth. And in hell. He lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. The bodies in the grave. But the souls in hell. It's in hell. There's a heaven to gain, you know. And there's a hell to shun. And this man who had heard the message, who was warned of his need of repentance, and except he repented, he would perish. Listen, he refused to listen. He refused to obey. And he died in the way that he lived. And his body was placed in the Mother Earth. And unknown to anybody else who was around the funeral procession, listen, that day, his soul was in hell. And it's still in hell tonight. And dear friend, it's going to be in hell for all eternity. I want you to notice something here, and I'm near finished. I want you to see his faculties in hell. We used to do a bit of outreach there in the streets in Newcastle in different towns, running to many young people. And they had a very wrong conception of what hell was going to be like. They thought it was great when they were going to get there, they were going to have a big party. There's no parties in hell. Now watch it. You see verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth. He could see. He could feel tormented. See, feel, it's as if he never died, because he never died. All right? This boy, we'll never die. One day we'll depart from the body, but we'll never die. It's only the body will go back from where it came. And he could feel he was tormented. Here the Bible talks about being in torments with an S on it. And seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. He could talk. He could cry now for mercy. But it's too late. It's too late. I talk to many dear Roman Catholics. And those dear Roman Catholics are taught that after they come to die, that they'll go to a place called purgatory and there's a second chance. They can be prayed out of purgatory. They can be paid out of purgatory. But you can't. The decision you make before you leave this scene of time will determine where you're going to be in eternity, forever. And here he's crying from the depths of the pit. Would you send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame? But Abraham said, Son, remember. He could remember in eternity. He could remember in hell. How often did he remember those times when he heard his need, that he ought to repent, but he refused to listen. I often think of how many times he could remember he had the opportunity of seeking the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he was near, but he never took it. I often think, was he like Agrippa at one stage, almost persuaded, but lost? I want to tell you something, dear friend. If you die and you go out into God's eternity and you end up in hell itself, you will remember every gospel message that you sat under. You will remember hearing the gospel, hearing the pleadings of some dear preacher seeking to win you for Christ and for eternity. And you will remember every time that you rejected God's Son and walked out that door because you loved your sin more than your soul. He said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. There's no second chance. He can cry all he wants. He's lost forever. He's lost forever. Dear friend, I'm finishing now. One day you're going to die. One day, dear friend, you're going to die. One day, dear friend, you're going to die. Where will your soul be in God's eternity? Well, I want to say just now as I finish, when Jesus walked this scene of time, he made a wonderful statement. He made many wonderful statements, but this is one that he did make, and I want to bring it to your attention. If you want to be sure of heaven and home tonight, you've got to come the way of the cross. For Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if you want to be sure of heaven tonight and escape hell, you've got to be willing to take your place at the foot of the old rugged cross. In repentance of sin and acceptance of the finished work of the cross, where Jesus paid it all. And then, ere you put your head on your pillow tonight, dear friend, listen. You'll be able to say, like one of old, all is well with my soul. Maybe just now, as you sit in that pew, you know what you have to do. Maybe tonight's your night. And if God's speaking to your heart, I don't care who you are, where you're from, what you've done. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. But you've got to come. Don't you leave the meeting without the Lord. You could be in hell tomorrow. You'll remember this meeting for the rest of eternity. If God's spoken to you, you'd like to talk to me. Listen, come and have a chat. I'm not going to bend your arm up your back. It's your decision. You must decide. And I pray in Jesus' name that you'll decide if I'm right tonight. And that you'll come to the Lord and trust Him as your Savior. Oh. Don't let it be said of you like it was said of him. He lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torments. Father in heaven, this is a very solemn time. A time in this meeting house this evening where men and women will decide for eternity. And maybe, Lord, for some, it's their final meeting they'll ever sit in. We pray tonight that by your Spirit that you might speak, not only in the building, but beyond the building, to those who would even listen in tonight. And that men and women may come to realize and recognize that for the soul to be saved, and may they be willing to come and repent, receive Christ as their Savior tonight. Just give that deciding grace this evening. May we rejoice together with the very angels in glory over sinners coming and putting their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loved them and gave himself for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.